Second Peter. The title is this, of this is God's power gives us the ability to live godly lives. And it goes like this. God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and for godliness. This power was given to us through the knowledge of the one who called us by his own glory and integrity. Through his glory and integrity, he has given us his promises that are of the highest value. Through these promises, you will share in the divine nature. Oh my God. I don't care what you look like, where you came from, what shade of color you got on your body. We are all sharing the divine nature. We are partakers. We're partners. We're called to build together. We're called so that when people walk in that door, they know that there is a people at Santa Maria Four Square Church that love one another and build one another up. You can go ahead and praise him for that right now. I love my Kayabegans, my friends. Where are my Filipino friends? Yes, my Kayabegans. Where's my Machachos? Oh, they ain't here today. Okay, let me give you another chance. Where's my Machachos, my friends? My amigos, my amigas, how's that? Thank you. That's my friend right there. And all the rest of us. I am standing here today not only because God had chose me, but I was just a little ghetto kid. I told Pastor Tim my idea of getting fruit was going in that neighborhood where most of you good folks lived, and I would climb up in your tree. And I wouldn't just pick your fruit. I'd take the whole limb down. Boom! And I'd be running down an alley, tearing half a tree of cherries and oranges. I was just a little ghetto kid. My mother, she got pregnant with me at 14 years of age. And I am so thankful she decided to keep me. And so I don't stand before you as if I, you know, accomplished something great in life, but this is one thing I can say that I have accomplished, and that is I became a partner. I became a joint heir with Christ, and it is my desire to see you be built up in the things of the Lord. And I just wonder this morning, before I even get started, maybe you came this morning and you was like struggling, should I be here? I'm not sure if I should come to church. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to show yourself. You're just right there where you are and you say, okay. You say this, Lord, I'm glad I came. I'm glad that you love me and I'm here to receive everything you want me to have. Amen. Can everybody say that? Lord, I'm here. I'm so glad I came. And I want everything you want me to have. Amen. You appreciate Ellie? See, we're a church that we can move. Now, we miss Pastor. I'm going to be sure I get that on podcast so he knows. We miss you, Pastor. We miss you, Pastor Kelly and Kaylin. But we can still move forward. And you guys can catch up when you get back. Amen? Look at someone one more time and tell them how much you really appreciate them. Thank you, Ellie. Thank you. What a sweetheart. I I'm about ready to jump ahead of what I want to say, and I got to be careful that I don't do that. But I want this first slide to come back up. You've seen this slide before. Pastor Tim was closing with building my destiny, and he went to the second floor. And I went to the second floor with him, and I looked at these two things here, our functional assignment and our prophetic assignment. Your natural concerns lie within your functional assignment, right? Your needs that are important to your life daily, being a parent, being an educator. There might be some scientists in the room, mechanics, people who do things that are necessary to survive and live. It doesn't matter what you do in life, in your functional assignment, you're trying to live. Is there anyone in here that does not need to eat? Okay, we're all on planet Earth. All those natural things that we do in life are not necessarily a prophetic assignment. Things that you do in life can lead you toward your prophetic assignment, but then your prophetic assignment becomes very clear. It's specific. God-inspired, called to his mission. You or I cannot be like anyone else. I listened to Jack Hayford, and I go, oh, my God, if I could just speak like that. And the Lord said, you're not going to be able to. I have to find who I am in him. Amen? Amen. God still speaks, and we can still hear him. How is the prophetic assignment activated? Read that last statement. Prophetic assignment is activated when you serve others. Trust me, I know that to be a true statement. It never fails. On our walks, my wife and I, she believes that I need to go walking for some reason. I think she wants me to look like Teddy. Teddy, stand up. Let everybody see what you look like. Teddy, stand up. Stand up, Teddy. Come on, Teddy. Stand up. Just 1 minute, bro. Just 1 minute. Teddy, come on, Teddy. Teddy, come on, brother. Do it for me, man. Look at it. Bill, help him up. Oh, he's too big for you? Okay. Now, Teddy is my understanding, a model. What a brother look like. I told him the hawk could only wish to look like him. But anyway, we go on these walks. And I started doing something. I started taking one of the neighbors' newspaper. Instead of them having to walk all the way out of their yard, find their newspaper somewhere on the street, I pick their newspaper up, and I throw it in the yard. And I really enjoy that. I'm serving them. They're not paying me to do that. But I believe in my serving others, my prophetic assignment gets activated. One time I was on my walk, and I heard the leaves rustling. And I was just enjoying the walk with the leaves. But I heard this one leaf. I said, oh, that leaf sounds so different from all the other leaves. And the Holy Spirit said, you better look. I go, it's just another leaf. And then I walked, and the Holy Spirit gave me one more chance. Better turn around and look at that. I turned around. It was a $20 bill. In the wind. You remember that, babe? Remember that twin? Anyway, I said, oh, it was a fresh. I looked around to see who it belonged to. I didn't see nobody, so I just, well, it's mine. See, we in our prophetic assignment, God wants to tune you in to his purpose. And his purpose is about people. There's also a thing called the prophetic promise. In John 14, if you love me, you won't see this on the board. I'm going to read it to you. John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, if, you know how that little word, if, you know how many times that word is in the Bible? Good Lord. If, now where are the scientists here? If in, you know, yeah. If in a functional means that in the test, if this does this, then you get this. Is that correct? Say out loud. Come on. Is that correct? Yes. So God gives us tests. Say, if you love me. Say, if you love me, obey my commandments, and you will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. In verse 23, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. I want to tell you something. I have problems with that one. Okay? I do. I'm going to tell you later on in the story. I can be hard-headed. Yes. You ought to know, right? All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come. We, the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will come and make our home in you. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you, but when the Father sends the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I've told you. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. That is the promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit is that we love God. The Holy Spirit wants to speak on your behalf. The Holy Spirit wants to intercede for you on your behalf. Getting ahead of myself. Go to the next slide for me. I'm just going to slow this down like Pastor Sergio prophesied to me when he got up here earlier. We're going to slow it down a little bit. Go to the next slide, please. In Matthew 31, 6, 31, and 33. So don't worry about these things. And what things he's talking about? What will you eat? What will you drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Is it possible being a believer that we can get in a place of unbelief? Especially when we're hungry. You know, some folks just get downright, you just don't want to be around them when they're hungry. Go get that guy a burrito now. Then we can talk. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your natural needs to meet your functional assignment. God knows that in order for you to do what he called you prophetically, he needs to feed you. God knows in order for you to get to your prophetic assignment, you need to have some clothes on. We would have a problem if I had forgot to wear clothes this morning. I know that's kind of an unsightly image. Let me see if I can get that out of your head real quick. See, God knows all our needs. He knows that you need a house. Can you say amen? Yes. I mean, the ones that you know you need a house, say, yes, that's me. Yes. Absolutely. So we need shelter. We have to have shelter in order to fulfill our prophetic assignment. We need food. We need something to drink that's nourishing to us. We need safety. We need money. Anybody here doesn't need money? Because if not, just bring it up here to me. You know, I must need money. God is bringing me money on walk. Now, some of you are going to probably start going walking and looking. Oh, that was just a leaf. Your next slide, please. This is not an all-be-all list, but this is what I have for you today. Your prophetic assignment is God-chosen. It's God-purposed. It's God-spoken. God-inspired mission. One time I was just so very enthusiastic about God and wanting to minister to people. I was driving my car and I saw this guy and lady, and I could tell that she was blind and working her way across the street. And I just pulled over to the side and I jumped out and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I'm about to pray for you so you can receive your healing." And the guy said, "Oh, you're gonna try to encourage my wife like that? Did you really hear from God? I will beat you up in the name of your God if you don't get back in your car and leave." I go, "Oops. That was not God assigned. That was not God purposed." I know when something is God purposed now. God told me, "Shut your ministry down." I was a pastor. Shut it down? Yes. Your model is wrong. But you called me. I did. But I didn't call you to do what you're doing. Oops. So then I try to linger it and just, well, maybe I'm just hearing another spirit. And the Lord said, "No, it's me." So he sent the fire department to our building. Said, "We're going to shut you down." What? Long story short, God sends me here. And I've been here. Santa Maria Four Square Church is our assigned prophetic assignment. I never asked Pastor Tim. I never asked Roger. Matter of fact, when Roger would try to get me to preach, I would just go, "Boom, I'm out the door." When we get to that place where God wants us and line us up with his purpose, what he's chosen for us, and what he has spoken, we can get to the mission. I guarantee you, after reading Paul, you know Paul, the guy that wrote the New Testament, you know, the epistles, Paul, that Paul, I guarantee you I would have a hard time fellowship with that brother. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because when the Holy Spirit separated Paul and Barnabas to go do the work in the ministry, Paul had an attitude with Barnabas because he wanted to bring Mark back with the next mission. And Paul said, "We ain't having it." And they separated. Their fellowship, their love for one another, their contention was so great, they separated. Now, God didn't tell them to separate. They separated. So God goes and gets Silas. "Silas, hey, let's go do ministry." Silas said, "Oh, man, I get to walk with Paul." But guess where they end up? In jail. That's where they went. They went to jail. First mission, jail. And Silas is probably saying, "Hey, Paul, how did we get here?" I was disobedient. You can't read that in scripture, but I'm sure Paul was being disobedient. And God had talked to Paul in jail. And when Paul got himself lined up, he started worshiping God. He wasn't worshiping God because he was wanting to be in jail. He was worshiping God because he repented for being in jail. Oh, I don't know if you guys are following me. And when he had repented and he got himself lined back up with what God wanted, the Bible said God showed up, shook the place, shook chains off of people. And the man come in there and he was like, "Oh, he's going to kill himself." And Paul said, "Don't do yourself no harm. We're all here." Sometimes in our prophetic assignment, God take us to a place we don't want to be. Go to the next slide, God's plan for you. "For I know the plans I have for you." declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Doesn't look like it right now. Lord, you see these bills stacking up on me? You see what's going on? I've been wearing these same shoes for like the last 2 years. They're out of date. God said, I got you. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. That's the place to be. That is the place to stay. That is the place not to move from where God called you. Hey, let me be as bold to say this. Some of you are called to Santa Maria Foursquare and you're still thinking about it. Some people know this gift that's in me, and I don't mean to call you out like that, but I have to. One time someone came to our church and said, this will always be my home. I said, we work at our house. Come up. This is my home. And I hadn't picked up a piece of paper, hadn't joined Safari Kids. Won't even be an usher. Well, this is my home, though. No, it's not. Pastor Tim always have to get after me because I get in trouble. One time some brother, I got on a brother, I'm in love, and Pastor Tim called me in office. He said, Pastor Ron, are you intimidating? I'm not going to call him. Are you intimidating so-and-so? I go, no. It's about time they get up and get something done. How long he going to keep sitting there? You know, I can't tell you the whole story. And Pastor Tim had to deal with me. He said, Brother Ron, be gentle. You know what his last words were before he went and left? You know what? Can you imagine what his last words were to me? I said, Pastor Tim, I love you, bro. I love the people. I want you good. Amen. I just want you to be good. I want you to walk in the things of God. I want you to experience the power of God. Oh, is my head shining? You guys love Pastor Sergio? That's my friend right there, man. Now, some of you knew my head was shining, but you wouldn't even bring me nothing. That's a brother right there. Thank you, brother. Let it shine. Hallelujah. I don't have time to read this whole passage of Scripture. You can do it yourself. I'm just going to pull out a piece of it in Romans 8. And I know you're familiar with this. And we know that God causes everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. How many believe everything? What if it's not feeling good? What if it hurt? You know, there's been times things hurt me. And I stop. I go, Lord, that hurts. He don't say nothing. He don't change it. So one time in prayer, I was in prayer, and I'm a kid. I'm just a kid at heart, really. I don't know any better sometimes. And I said to the Father, you know, if I were God, I wouldn't have done it that way. Now, let me tell you how I would have done it. I know that brother's need, and I would have just dropped on him like the Holy Spirit and comforted him, and I'd have just blessed him. I'm not sure what your delay is, Father. So I walked away. And I heard the Lord said, get back here. I go, yes. You know what he said? You want to know what he said to me? How many want to know what God said to me? You want to hear it? Do you? This is what he said. You ready? If you were God, you'd be doing it just like me. Maybe you didn't hear that. He said to me, if you were God, you'd be doing it just like I'm doing it right now. I repent. I'm sorry, Daddy. Your ways are not my ways, nor your thoughts my thoughts. Hey, how come we just can't be real with Daddy? You know, stop faking. He already knows how you really feel about the pain you're going through. But all, everybody say all. Oh, you're not saying it right. Say all. There you go. Things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to your purpose. No, that isn't what it say? Wait a minute. Oh, a called according to Sergio's purpose. Oh, okay, hold on. I know there's another pastor in here. There he is. Called according to Rico's purpose. Well, whose purpose? Thank you. So you know what that means? You have no idea what his purpose is till you begin to walk in what I call prophetic moments. So prophetic moments bring you to an understanding of your prophetic assignment. And so God gives you experiences. God gives you opportunities to be with some people, live next door to some people who you just wish they'd move to the next state. Or you work with somebody that you hope they get a new job. Don't raise your hand. See, your prophetic assignment is to serve others and to serve those who speak evil against you. You know, when the Lord called me to Foursquare and told me to shut down the ministry, I had somebody call me and say, okay, Pastor, what's her name? I said, what? I know you committed adultery. That's why God shut you down. I said, excuse me. Honey, stand up for a minute. Let everybody get a good look at you. Come on, baby. Don't be like Teddy. She be Mexican. Do you think that this guy is going to mess around with another woman? No, she's kind and sweet. Sorry, baby. I know you're sweet, baby. You're sweet, baby. You're sweet. She's sweet. Yeah, let me get, thanks. Yeah, let me get that taken care of. Next slide. Here's your objective. Seek. Everybody say seek. The kingdom of God above all else. Everybody say God first.
God first.
Live righteously, and he, the Father, will give you
everything.
There it is again. God has never failed me for anything I needed. Never. Everything I needed, he met the need. Everything. And everything I wanted, I didn't get. Some of you got it. Everybody's like, what are they laughing about? Everything I needed, but not everything I wanted. Go to the next slide, please. Blessed is the nation, that's you, whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen. Everybody said, that's me. He chose me. He chose you because he wanted you to be his own inheritance. Man, when I realize I'm a son of God and I really do love talking to the Father and I really do love the Father talking to me and then asking me to do things that I really need to get an adjustment on. That's true. There's been things that he said, this is what you're going to do, and this is what's going to happen. You ready? No. No. And then the Lord doesn't say nothing else to me. I feel like I'm absent in a room without his presence. And then he asks me again, this is what I need you to do.
Third time, okay.
You know, because we as people, it takes us a while to really get adjusted to what he wants. Because we know what we want. My grandson, is he over there in children's ministry? Yeah, bless the workers. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless the Safari Kid workers. That guy, I said, that's your child. He was hanging out with me yesterday, and I thought, you know, I need to sometime minister to the Lord and worship to the Lord. And I told him, you got something in your pants, bro. He go, what? I said, you keep moving around, you're messing up. And I had worship songs on, and the next thing I know, he was worshiping, he was praying for everybody. I go, oops, I need to do that. So we worship and we're praising God. And as soon as he got finished worshiping and praising God, he acted like he hadn't even been in prayer. He acted like he didn't have a moment with God. I was like, oh my God. And the Lord said, don't you even say nothing about that, because that's just the way you act too. Oops. Everybody say, oops.
Oops.
Yeah. God be calling us out, but that doesn't change his love. I've been obedient. We did something God told me not to do, did it anyway, and found myself stuck in Bakersfield. Knew that car was not going to work, but I wanted to drive that car that day. Because I can get where I need to go, when I need to go, instead of those sluggish truck. And there I was, stuck. Out in the middle of nowhere, Bakersfield. Now, how many been to Bakersfield? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. Especially when you go on that 99 and you try to pick up that's 166. I was surprised I had phone connection. God gave me phone connection. I'm sitting there repenting. Lord, all things work together for good. He said, well, yes, but not according to your disobedience. And a young couple come, and I'm sweating. I mean, it's hot. I mean, Bakersfield is hot. And I mean, I am, you think I'm sweating now? I was sweating. My sweat was sweating. My water was wet. I mean, it was coming down. And this couple come flying up, and they got in the dirt, and dirt was everywhere. And the dirt got on the sweat, and I looked darker than I ever been before. And the guy go, oh, I'm sorry. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, don't worry about it, man. If dirt was the only thing that I had to deal with, I would be okay, but I'm stuck. And he said, well, I'm a mechanic. He lifted up the hood of the Mercedes. He go, can't touch that. Don't know nothing about it. And I knew I was in a place where I had to return back to my place of obedience and worship. And I said, can I pray for you guys? And they go, you want to pray for us? We're not stuck. I go, yes, I want to serve you. I want to love on you. I want to minister to you. I said, where are you guys going? We're going to San Diego. I said, let me pray for you. And I prayed with them, ministered to them. And they turned around and leave, and they didn't go. And I walked over, and I said, what's going on? Man, we don't want to leave you out here. Don't worry about it. I'm not alone anymore. He said he never leave me nor forsake me. Lo, I'm with you always to the ends of the earth, no matter how you behave. And God showed up. The man came to take my truck away, and I didn't even have my wallet. I didn't have no money on me. Where's my wallet? Call back to the hotel. Oh, yeah, your wallet's here. Somebody found it on the street. I go, what? Jesus, you're good. You can get me stuck in Bakersfield anytime you want to. If I just need to find my way back, if I lost something in Bakersfield. How many say all things?
All
work together.
For good.
I'm going to jump to something real quick. I want to bypass a couple of slides, and I want to get to slide where Ephesians 1, 3, 5. Can you get that one? Yeah. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ. Even before he was made, even before he made the world, God loved us. Listen, before the world was made, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Everybody say, thank God for Jesus Christ. This is what he, the Father, wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Next slide. So, what do? We praise God, even when you don't feel like it. Even if you know when you left home and you got in an argument with your wife or your husband, then you got to come to church and you got to put on your Christian faith. Like everything's okay. That's just me. Oh, that's just me. Oh, okay. Honey, I've been working on my faith. When I've been acting up. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us with who belong to his dear son. We all belong to him. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave us our sins. Amen? He showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his good pleasure. You've been called. You've been chosen. So when we left the first floor building our destiny, and we started on that second floor, there's nothing we can do without loving God first. Love the Lord with all your heart. I am in love with God. My wife will tell you that. On our marriage day, and I was supposed to be spending time with my bride, and she was all pretty. She's still pretty. What are you doing? I'm going to church. Church? Church? You going to leave me here? Yes. I'll be back. But I got to go spend some time with Daddy. I love God. Maybe you're not understanding. I love God so much that how's that song go, Cindy? And he walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. See, some of you are looking at me like, that doesn't sound like any songs we sing here in church. But that go way back. I mixed them together, didn't I? Okay, who's preaching this message, bro? Dave knows I love him. When you are in love with God, he responds. I'm all about serving and loving God. I am. I've gotten in trouble because I put God first. As I close, I want to go to this one slide here because my wife always tells me when I speak. She said, honey, she didn't tell me today because she figured Pastor Tim already covered it. She goes, you know when you speak to people, don't give them the whole loaf of bread. Just give them a slice. So I'm trying to stay with a slice. So go to this slide, and as I close, Ellie, come back up here with me. It's attraction, distraction by attraction. Now look at that definition of distraction. A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. That's a distraction. Look at what the word attraction means. the action or power of evoking interest, pleasure, or liking for someone or something, a quality or feature that evokes interest, liking or desire. Oh my God, I am so attracted to the Lord. I'm telling you, I know where I came from. You know, when you've had a gun in your face and you see the little barrel with the bullets in it, switch. I was an atheist. Didn't believe in God. Didn't want to have nothing to God. And yet he knew that I didn't trust him. I didn't like him. I didn't know him. Didn't want to know him. But that barrel kept turning. And the bullets did not come out. The guy looked at his gun. Times when I knew I should have been dead. Another time with a guy with a shotgun in my face. Car accident. Head busted. You know when God cleans somebody up? Some of you are wondering, no way, dude, no way. You don't even look like you came from a place like that. That's what God does. He makes you clean. He makes you new. But I'm just telling you, this ain't my first rodeo. I know God. I know that God has given an inheritance to my children. He told me he would. That one right there. Stand up, son. That one right there. You know what's going to get you. Iraq. Not on one occasion. How many? Well, three? Several. You lost count. He called me. He said, don't tell mom, dad, but I almost died again. But God had called him, and so I know what his name, because God told me what his name, and I call him by his name. His name's Jason. The word Jason in Hebrew means healer. See, your children have an inheritance because of your walk with God. It doesn't matter what they're doing or what. Listen, you must stay steadfast to the things of God, even when your children are doing something different than what you believe. Didn't mean to scream at you. Just had to get that out. I'm attracted to Jesus, who's my Savior, my baptizer with the Holy Spirit, my healer, and my soon coming King. See it? That's what these symbols mean. That's what we believe is four square. The Holy Spirit is the power that evokes, calls up my interest to the Father's heart. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will interrupt what I'm doing so he can tell me what Daddy wants me to know. As I draw near to the Father, you got to get this, beloved. The Father draws near to me. My attraction to the Father calls those things. My attraction to him calls things to me. I don't have to seek for nothing. I got to seek my God, and things will come to me. As I'm attracted to God, things become attracted to me. My wife will tell you, every time we go to Costco somewhere, all these old ladies always come up, you know. My wife says I get in trouble because I always tell them how beautiful they are. This little old lady came up to me and said, can I borrow your husband? She said, yeah, I'll take it. And so, you know, I minister to her and I tell her, it's time to go. She goes, oh, no, your wife ain't missing you. You just stay right here. I want you to get that for me right there off that shelf. Listen, when you draw near to the Father, he draws near to you, and then he will attract things to you, things that belong to you. Why? For the prophetic assignment. Many people have prostituted their ministry because they left from being attracted to God and became attracted to the things that God gave them. Pray for me that I don't become that person. Pray that as a leader, as a minister, and all our leaders, our pastors. Pray for us that we will remain attracted to God, so that those things that God wants us to have, not only just things, but even people who can come and help us build what God's called us to do at Santa Maria Forest Square Church. Amen? But when I'm distracted from the Father, when things become my attraction, then the Holy Spirit is quenched. You know, you heard that passage of scripture, don't quench the Holy Spirit. One way of quenching the Holy Spirit is that you're attracted to something other than Him. What would that look like, honey? If I lost my attraction for you and I started looking at some little young honey. I mean, I know I would have to pay. I'll pay for that. And she told me, she said, go ahead and do it. There's a place under the bridge right there in Longpo. You can have this couch too. You want to go stay there? That didn't even sound attracted to me. So guess what? I'm not attracted to no young honey. But what happens when you get distracted? When my heart's desire is no longer for God, then all things become a distraction to me. Those things that even followed me as a result of me following God, those things now become a distraction to me. I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is your opportunity to say to the Lord, I no longer want to be distracted. But I am attracted to you. Go ahead and bow your heads and raise your hands if you like. I don't want to be distracted because my need for things is greater than my need for you, Father. But I want to be attracted to you. I'm going to go as far as to say, anyone who wants to come up here and just stand with me and say, Pastor Ron, Son, the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite you to come and stand with me because I want to keep my attraction to the Father. So come, if that's you. You want to be one whose heart to be fully in love with God, to be attracted to Him. Thank you. Thank you for coming and standing with me. I needed you to stand with me because I didn't want to be alone in this. Father God, you see everyone standing. Everyone who said, well, maybe there's no more room for me down there. Yes, there is.